Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth with the purpose of sparking revival. Committed to spreading the gospel, this is your Kingdom Crossroads podcast. And now, your host, T.S. Wright. Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. I am your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you could join us today. Before we dive into today's episode, if you haven't already, please take a moment to follow or subscribe and give us a like. Thank you for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. Well, we have a special guest today. Joining us is Dr. Rosemarie Downer. Now, Dr. Downer is the visionary and former president of Bridges, a parachurch organization dedicated to serving youth in the church and our communities. And furthermore, she has authored 10 books and is an expert in the fields of leadership, spiritual growth, youth ministry design and leadership, ministry etiquette, and personal development. Dr. Downer, welcome to the show.
Oh, welcome. Thank you, TCS, for having me here. I appreciate it. I'm saying welcome when I'm supposed to be saying thank you.
All right. Well, hey, without further ado, let's go ahead and get this thing started. So, Dr. Downer, what I'd like you to do first is just share your journey with our listeners and really help them understand your story.
My story, my journey. I think a good place to start in sharing my journey would be the point at which I gave my life to the Lord.
Amen.
That sort of really carved out how I lived my life thereafter. And I gave my life to the Lord at 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I was in Jamaica. It was a Sunday night service. I still remember what I was wearing. I stood in front of that small congregation and I said I wanted to be baptized. And I still remember the older woman sitting in the front portion of the church started to mumble among themselves. And what they were really saying is that I was too young to give my life to the Lord. Back then, they didn't think children were at the age to give their life to the Lord. But it was at the age of 7, I got baptized at 12 because my mom, because of their beliefs, refused to have me baptized that young. And she wanted to see to make sure I was changed. And today I ask the question, what kind of change could she be looking for in a child at that age? But they were very strict and you know, stuck to the books. So I was baptized at 12. I filled with the Holy Ghost not long after. I am Pentecostal. So we migrated from Jamaica to Canada. I did my high school years in Canada and 1 year of college. And from there, I moved to Maryland to finish my studies and have not gone back to Canada since. So when I refer to home, when I say I'm going home, it's usually Canada because my entire family lives in Canada. My mom has since transitioned. She transitioned January 2021, but I still go home quite frequently. So my studies was in child psychology, and I started serving in ministry probably early '90s.
Okay.
Early '90s, I started. And when I say serving in ministry, that is being invited out to speak, to minister. Okay. I've always served in my church, but invited out to do a retreat or a women's day, a sermon or a seminar, probably early '90s, late '80s, early '90s more so. So I think one of the pivotal time in ministry for me was in 1994, when there was an incident at my church that caused deep offense, deep pain in me. It was an issue that demanded forgiveness. Those of us who've gone to church and in church ministry, in ministry, know that these things can happen in church due to jealousy or whatever the reason. And so I started journaling the experience. It was four individuals that I did choir with, I did tarrying service with, I did just over the years, just did church with. And so it's not something I expected. Like David says in Psalm 55, if it was an enemy, I could have borne it. It's the same tune for me. It wasn't an enemy. These were colleagues. These were fellow brethren. I started journaling my experience. And as I was journaling, and I've always loved writing. And that's why I was journaling. I said, well, maybe I can turn this into a book. So I started to write the book. And the Lord stopped me. I never finished it. Now, I don't usually start things and don't finish it. And that sure. book, quote unquote book, sat there for several years. Later on, the Lord told me it's time to go back and write the book. When I picked up what I wrote and I read it, I realized why the Lord stopped me, because that would not bless someone. I was writing out of a place of pain. I was writing out of a place of hurt. And hurt people only hurt people. If I'm hurt, I'm only going to hurt you with what I share. And that's why the Lord stopped me. When he told me to go back to writing the book, I was ready at that time. I'd come through the experience. I'd healed. He had taught me what forgiveness is. And that's how the book, The High Call of Forgiveness, was birthed. That's probably, of my 10 books, the most popular book, most sold book, most utilized book. That book now has a leader guide, a student workbook, and a devotional. So it's like a set of four can be done with, worked with separately. But that's how The High Call of Forgiveness came. And in listening to many testimonies and many endorsements of the book, how the content has shared and delivered individuals, it tells me why I went through what I went through. And I'll share this. As I was coming through that season of pain and what I call hibernation, because I had shut down going out to minister during that time, because we need to also realize when it's time to stop serving, when it's time to take a pause in serving and taking care of ourselves. I remember getting a phone call from a church in New York, and the person said they would like me to come and minister on their Women's Day. I asked, what is the theme of your day, your service? Sure. And the theme was forgiveness. I was just coming out of this experience. And on top of that, I had never ministered on forgiveness before.
Wow.
That told me that I went through what I went through to prepare me to minister on forgiveness. And I can safely say that topic is probably one of the strongest points of ministry for me, that he had brought me through that so I can pour into people and lead people through the process of forgiveness God's way. Because we can think we are forgiven, but there's a prescription and there's a descriptor to God's way of forgiveness.
Amen.
So that's one of the books that I've done. And one of my other products, which I think is quite unique, is a three-set card, three decks of cards put together. I call it A Closer Look at Me, looking at self-awareness, self-worth, and self-care. And in the decks are 50 cards with introspective questions on them, questions that we don't normally ask ourselves that make us look closer at ourselves. And if you're in a group using these cards, or icebreaker, or therapy, or counseling, or, you know, any way that you're using these cards, they are excellent conversation starters. They can be used for therapy. They can be used for counseling. They can be used for reconciliation. They can be used for self-discovery. Tons of ways. Now, I'll tell a quick story how these cards came about. I had to do a retreat, and I needed a theme for the retreat. And I sought the Lord on what theme I should use for the retreat. And he said, a closer look at me. And a closer look looking closely at ourselves, I thought of these three pillars: self-awareness, self-worth, and self-care. So I was going to do three sessions, one on each. And so I created a quick icebreaker by creating, I think it was about 15, 20 questions in each of the categories, wrote them on cards, and they were supposed to read the card and answer the questions. Okay. These were icebreakers. I did not get to go to the content of any of the sessions, because the questions alone took up the entire sessions.
Sure.
There was crying. There was healing. The people went back to their past. It was powerful. And as I sat there and watched the process, I said to myself, Rosemary, you might be onto something here. So I came back, expanded it from the few questions I had to 50 in each deck. I did the design of the cards and the boxes, and then got them printed. So now they are fully equipped, finalized tools that can be used at retreats, again, icebreakers, support groups, counseling, and looking at self-awareness, self-worth, and self-care. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So I really like what you talked about. I will tell people in this audience that twice in my life, I've actually experienced through the power of the Holy Spirit, emotional healing. And it happens in a moment, but usually there's a trail of events that lead to that moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for people to know. And, you know, having things that, like Dr. Downer has, whether it's the cards and the book and those type of things, can help you guys if you're struggling with either forgiving yourself, letting go of maybe certain sinful patterns in your life, or forgiving someone else. And I think that's an important concept for, I hope our listeners, I hope all of you listening, it's an important concept of things that you need to do and to walk through. And I will tell you, get her book. You know what? Go get this book. I mean, obviously there's a lot of people that have been positively impacted being able to walk through this stuff. And then if you are someone that likes conversation starters and stuff, you know, buy the cards. Mm-hmm. Get on here and buy the cards. So Dr. Downer, what I would like to do now is kind of pivot a little bit, and maybe you talk about some of your other works that you have, books you've authored, and kind of explain to our audience some of the other things that you have out there that could be beneficial to them.
So another product that I have that I'm really, really excited about is one of my latest books titled Leaders Are Like Giraffes.
Yes. Leaders are like giraffes. Yeah. I like that.
Leaders, man, are like giraffes.
Got long necks.
There's a story behind, I can safely say, all my books. Yeah. There's an encounter or a story, an experience that have led to all my books, except for the one that I'm writing right now. I can't go back to an experience. So in the introduction, T.S. mentioned that I'm the founder and former president of Bridges, Building Responsible Youth by Delivering Genuine Enrichment Services. And in that parachurch ministry, I used to do a conference every other year. It was either a fellowship or a convention or a conference. So I alternated the conference with the convention. In the conference, I would have mainly workshops, keynote speaker, as you know, a conference is set up, keynote speaker and workshops. And for the workshops, I would have tracks, parenting track, worship track, career readiness track, leadership track, different tracks. And for the leadership track, I needed a workshop facilitator. And I could not find a workshop facilitator. The last thing I wanted to do was to facilitate a workshop, because I'm the host of the conference and I'm super busy. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do a workshop on because I'm busy. And I heard, I never paid attention to the giraffe. He was not a fan of mine. I don't like animals. Sorry, animal lovers. I don't even have a cat or a dog. I didn't have my eyes on the, and if you could ask, should ask me what wild animal I liked the most, I probably would have said lion. King of the jungle, you know.
Hey, the Lion King. Said,
leaders are like giraffes. This is mid-2000s, maybe 2010, 2009, somewhere there. Yeah. And as I started to do the research and put the materials together, I said, this was a lot of information. When I did the workshop, I remember his name is Stephen French. I was walking out the room and he said, Rosemary, you know, you have enough information here that could make a book. I could write a book. And I lodged it in my head. I said, one day this is going to be a book. And it became a book in 2024.
Nice.
Yes.
That's awesome. Praise God.
Yes. And what I've done with Leaders Are Like Giraffes is I've also created a leadership training that goes along with it. At the leadership training, you get a workbook that you can work through. And it actually has so much information in it that it can actually be a leadership retreat. If I take my time to go through it, it's about 2.5 days.
Okay.
It can be done in a day, or it can be truncated into half a day. For that material, I wouldn't go less than half a day. And even in a day, I'm still truncating it. So Leaders Are Like Giraffes have blossomed into a book and a leadership. And it can be used for the faith community as well as the business. Leadership is leadership, whether it's business or faith community. And another one of my books with again, like I said, is a story or an encounter behind all of them, is D's and F's Won't Do. D's and F's Won't Do is a sermon that I preached at my church years ago. I knew that could be a book because I'm a writer. So it's like a painter. You look for images that stimulate your artistic interest. And same thing with preachers and writers. A preacher will say, that's a sermon right there, because that's how your spirit works. Same thing with a writer. So D's and F's Won't Do. I talk about 4 D's and 3 F's: depression, doubt, discouragement, distraction.
Sure.
Fear, failure, frustration. That book is probably one of my, and I should have all my books just to show them. I could have easily done that. But that book is probably, I call that book my most dense book with scripture. Sure. I meticulously show the readers what these strategies are, because they are strategies used by the enemy. What they are, clear definition of what they are, how he uses them in our lives, things like frustration and distraction seem so harmless, seem so small, but ignoring the cumulative effect of these little things. And then I slowly show how we can use the word of God to overcome them. And so I consider that book, D's and F's Won't Do, it's like a manual. It's like a tool. You're dealing with depression, what it is. And examples of folks in the Bible who have dealt with it, how the devil uses it. And because there are two different types of depression. There is circumstantial or situational depression, and there is clinical depression.
Sure.
The book talks about circumstantial or situational depression, how we can use the word to conquer that thing. Fear, failure, frustration. And that also comes with a devotion. Some people don't like the long chapter read. Some people like to do the devotional. So that also comes with a devotional. So those two other works, yeah.
So you talked about being able to do conferences with this because there's so much information and all those type of things. It seems like what you've done is you've really taken a deep dive into some of these areas, not only through experience, but also just into the biblical language and how to articulate that to an audience. So I think as you guys are listening to this, all you listeners, you know, pay attention to this. This is probably going to be a book that you should think about putting on your shelves and not just leaving it on your shelf, but actually opening the book and reading it. So and applying the information. So if you deal with any of these issues, you know, definitely you guys definitely need to purchase these books. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Downer, let me ask you a question. How can somebody get their hands on these books? You know, how can they find you? What do they need to do that?
Oh, yeah. So all my books are on Amazon first, and all my books are on my website.
Okay.
Which is booksbyrosemarie.com.
Okay.
And the spelling of my name is there, not Rosemary, Rosemarie, ending with IE.com. And if you put in Books by Rosemarie in Facebook, Instagram, you should be able to find me.
Okay.
It's the handle is always Books by Rosemarie. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're definitely going to include all this into our show notes and make sure everybody's got access to this. And before I let you go, I do have one more question. One of the areas that you talked about having a lot of really a strong background in was discipleship. Now, everybody who listens to me knows that discipleship is at the heart of everything that any of the things that I teach. Mm-hmm. Discipleship is the focal point. As I've written three and I'm written a fourth guide, and they're basically, I've got four standards and there's 10 lessons per standard that we're writing out. So the depth of discipleship is big. Maybe talk a little bit about any of the type of things that you published that would have some elements of discipleship in it.
Yeah, that's a really, really good question, because a lot of folks overlook that. Discipleship is key, because Think of a young believer, a less mature believer, needing the support to stay the course. And someone who is more advanced, more experienced, that can come alongside that person. Jesus had disciples and spent time teaching them and explaining to them. And we mistakenly overlook that. If they're coming to church, a lot of us are satisfied, but how deep are they going? So it's really, really important. I think one of my best materials for that would be the book titled Church or God, Religion or Relationship. And I have a story for that one too. I had no plan in writing this book. This was not, because I have it here. This is my writing book. So I write all my ideas in there. This is the book I'm working on now. That's all the chapters and the date by which they are to be done. That book was not written in my writing book.
Oh, wow.
Writing journal. I was in prayer one Wednesday morning. And I heard in my spirit, church or God. And I knew instantly the Lord was talking about a book.
Amen.
And as I started to write the book, what the Lord was asking was, why are my people declining spiritually while the doors of the church are closed? This was during COVID. And I mistakenly titled the book, The COVID-19 Test, Church or God. Now, that first part of the title is that turned off to a lot of people.
Sure.
If I obeyed the Lord and leave it at Church or God, I would have been doing better in that book. But it's a simple, easy-read book. It's an in-your-face book, and it challenges us to nurture and cultivate our relationship with the Lord, not church.
Yep, that's right.
That is key for a young believer to understand. Yes, we should be immersed in our local church, in local church community. We should be connected. We should serve. But if that thing is removed from our lives, it should not cause our relationship with Him to be altered. It should.
Amen.
Because our intimate personal relationship with Him is pivotal. And in that book, I call back the readers to that basic foundation of relationship with God and examining our lives to remove the idols that are in our lives. Even ministry can become an idol.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
Yes.
It can.
So having young believers understand that, and how do we cultivate that relationship? I explain all of that in the book. So that would be a good, and the good thing about Church or God is nothing like these in Epsilon do. It is a quick, easy, simple, straightforward read, but confrontational in a good way.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Downer, I appreciate you sharing all that with us. And we're unfortunately out of time, but I want to say, first of all, thank you for being on the show. And we're going to include all your information in the show notes. And we are also want to thank our Kingdom Crossroads community for tuning in today. We appreciate you guys spending the time with us and being a part of this magnificent community. If you enjoyed what you heard, again, make sure that you hit the like, the follow, subscribe button, and continue to listen to these great podcasts as we bring in these amazing people who can give us such great insight. Mm-hmm. On behalf of myself and Dr. Downer, this is T.S. Wright. Until next time, go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to hear today's message. We would now like to invite you to partner with us in our ministry by going to our website or simply scanning the QR code on the screen. The focus of our ministry is to spread the gospel and to spark a revival, a great harvest, if you will. On our website, you will see our Kingdom Crossroads podcast, as well as the other ministries that we have. We ask that you pray for our ministry and consider partnering with us by giving a contribution to help support the advancement of the gospel and our ministry. Whether you are a new believer or have been following Christ for a while, consider our discipleship program, the God Center Concept. This fall, we'll be offering online courses each week to support believers into becoming true followers of Jesus. Also, if you tune into our podcast, you will have the privilege of listening to not only myself, but to a whole host of other Christians that we interview. Thank you so much for being a part of our ministry, and we look forward to seeing you again next week. On behalf of our staff here at the God Center Concept, I am T.S. Wright signing out. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.